this has all come about. We're doing, as you know, we're doing something a little bit different today. I very seldom, and it's not a pride thing, it's a responsibility thing, I very seldom give up the pulpit. I just enjoy doing what I do. But I wanted to do something a little bit different because I learned a while back that the worst thing a man could do is to try to tell a woman how to be a woman. which, you know, in the past I've preached on Proverbs 31 of this is the biblical picture of a woman and this is how you become a godly wife. And I'm almost feeling like there's people with daggers in their eyes saying, how do you know? You know? So I, after, since the pandemic has kind of thrown things kind of willy-nilly a little bit, I thought it'd be good for you to hear from some women on Mother's Day. And so what I did is I sent out texts to 10 different women, and I asked them, who in the Bible is a hero to you? What woman in the Bible is a hero to you? And then my plan was to take all of them, kind of pull them together, and I would preach a sermon on those women. Little did I realize that many of them would give me different names. I had like, out of the 10 women, I had probably have 15 different names of people, of women in the Bible. And I'm thinking, oh man, what am I going to do with this? So I decided to do a different approach, and that is to ask the women to take part. And not necessarily to stand in front of a pulpit, but a couple of them said, there's no way I'm going to stand up there. I said, how about if we do a panel? And they said, I'll do it then. So what we're going to do is we're going to see two people by video because they are unable to be with us today. And then we're going to see five ladies up here, and they're going to share their hero story for you from the Bible. There might be some interaction among them. There might be some interaction from me to them. But we want you to relax. We want you to pray for them because I can guarantee you there are five nervous women right now. We met last night about 5 o'clock, and we talked through things. We prayed together, and almost to a T, they said, yeah, they were nervous. So anyway, I want you to welcome them. I'm going to, you can see their names in here, and I'm going to ask them to come up together as I say their name. Becca Anderson is going to be via video, and Jill Curry, and you'll get to hear from them. Tammy Grandy, Heather Keith, Stephanie Nally, Aaron Pendleton, and Chris Semick. Yeah, you can come up now. So. I went to women of different walks of life, different stages of life. And as you will see, that is true. That is not a slam against mothers at all. But every one of us have been affected by different women in our lives, whether it be a mother or a grandmother or an aunt or a neighbor or a sister who has affected our lives. And so I wanted to show the diversity of this. I realize it's Mother's Day. You're supposed to focus on mothers, and there are a few of them that are no mothers. But that should not matter because they are godly women. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning, and hope they will share that with you as well. Our first one is going to be Becca Anderson. She's going to be on the screen via video, and she will tell you why she's not here, besides the fact that she skipped out. No. She had a reason for not being here. So first one is Becca Anderson. But before we do that, hon, let's pray, okay? Lord, be with us this morning. Be with these ladies. I know that there are some nerves involved in it. And so I pray that you'll just help them as they gather their thoughts, as they share their thoughts, and be with us as we listen and learn to realize that it's not just about the men in the Bible, it's about men and women, children even, who were influenced by you, impacted by you, and made an impact in their world. And so I pray that you'll just open your word up to us as we see and hear and realize that, man, your book is so phenomenal in what it does. And so I thank you for your presence today, and be with each one of these women. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's hear from Becca Anderson.
Hey everybody, this is Becca Anderson coming to you from Dallas, Texas. We're sorry that we can't be there with you today, but we wanted to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. We're celebrating with our daughter Allie at her World Robotics Tournament. And Pastor Bill asked me to share with you the female in the Bible who I consider to be a hero. And when he asked me that question, I immediately thought of Leah from the book of Genesis, and I want to share with you why. And I've got something written here that I want to share with you. Do you ever read the genealogies of the Bible and get a glazed over look in your eyes? I've been there. So many names, most of which I can't pronounce, and so many begots. You might have heard me say that I look at the Bible as one intricately woven book all the way from Genesis through to Revelation. There are so many connections between the books of the Bible, and sometimes they're tucked in those little genealogies that we tend to skip over and ignore. Take a minute this week to read Genesis chapter 29, verse 35, and then read Matthew chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. Do you see that name Judah? He was Leah's son, whom she bore with Jacob. He was, and remember that Leah was the sister that Jacob didn't want, the sister who wasn't as pretty as her younger sister Rachel, the sister with whom many of us can probably relate to as women. Leah was the one who would have a son who would eventually lead to the Savior of the world. Not Rachel, it was Leah. See, Leah didn't have Matthew chapter 1 to show her that her feelings of inadequacy and the struggles to feel love were not overlooked by God, and that he was using her for a much greater purpose than she could see in Genesis chapter 29. The same is sometimes true in our own lives. We don't get the benefit of seeing the big picture like God does. Remember Leah the next time you feel unloved or unwanted, because there might just be a Matthew chapter 1 that God sees, but that you don't. Have a great Mother's Day.
So I told the ladies last night we're going to interact with each other some, and hopefully that you'll catch our interaction. So what are you familiar with Leah? Okay, what incident or what impact did that Becca shared with us did you carry away from that? Anybody? There's microphones in your lap. You can hold them up there, and you can speak. You have to turn it on. Yeah.
Okay. I love Leah because she was unloved, and God chose her. If you go and read through her story, the first two children she named, I think it has something to do with her husband, like, I'm not loved. But her third one, Judah, was named after God sees me, and I'm going to rejoice anyway. And she chose, despite her circumstances, to submit to what God had for her life. And I just think that's really, really heroic.
Anybody else want to share anything? Stephanie? Yours is already on.
I love that we don't always see what's going to happen in the future. And so we need to be faithful for what God gives us right now, because we're not sure what the future holds and how God's going to use our story, which is his story, to impact other people.
Okay. What I like what you brought out too, Aaron, and that is that Leah was unloved. You know, for 7 years, Jacob worked to marry Rachel, and then found out on the wedding day, whoops, this is the wrong woman, you know, and he's marrying Leah instead. So she was unloved, because then he worked another 7 years to marry Rachel. And but, you know, had children by Leah, and Rachel was barren for a while. But the fact that she was unloved, and yet she finally said, uses Judah as God loves me, you know. Anybody else want to say anything? Okay. The next one is Jill Curry. Jill will introduce herself to you. You will have seen her mostly if you come in the second service. Let's go ahead.
Hi, OVCF. My name is Jill Curry, for those of you that don't know me. And when Pastor Bill asked me about a month or so ago who the one woman in the Bible I would call my hero would be, I, of course, answer with two women because I couldn't make up my mind and I didn't know why he was asking. So the two women I mentioned were first Esther in the Bible because of her faith and her bravery. And then I also mentioned Lydia, who is, of course, from the New Testament and doesn't have a lot said about her, but we did just learn about her last year in the first to third grade Sunday school class a little bit more as well. So maybe because she's also more recent in my my study with the kids. So, but I know I chose Esther because ever since I was a kid, I think her bravery when she had a husband who was the king. Well, he wasn't her husband at the time. She had to go through this entire process, just really being faith, having faith and trust in the Lord that as she was going through this process to possibly become queen, that he would take care of her. Because there was a lot of times the king certainly had all kinds of people in his household, all kinds of people overseeing this entire process in his household. And she really, I think, had to have faith because she was not, she didn't have a lot of power. I think even as queen, she didn't always have a lot of power because going before the king, she could have been put to death at any time. And, you know, certainly I think the book, there's only two books of the Bible named after women. And this book could also easily be named Mordecai because he was, as her cousin and the man who raised her, I think really an important character because of his faith and his guidance of Esther and that, that pair that the Lord put together to really save the Jewish people. It's just such an example, I think, both Mordecai and Esther of that faith and that bravery. Because every step throughout the book, they really do have to trust that the Lord had a plan for them and a plan to save the Jewish people. And he gave them both the skills. He did give Esther 12 months of beauty treatments, which I think any woman would want 12 months at a spa. It'd be wonderful. But besides that, I think really that faith and that bravery and ultimately how it saved the Jewish people is really critical to the entire history of the Bible and critical, I think, you know, characteristics of what I think we all as Christians strive to have and certainly as women. And then Lydia, not much is mentioned about her in Acts 16, but, you know, as we learned in first through third grade class last year, you know, she was hospitable. She was a believer in the Lord, in God, but did not, I think, know this Jesus Christ. And when Paul and his group came to Philippi, for her to be able to listen to them and be baptized and then immediately be able to show hospitality to their team, I think is really just speaks of Christianity, speaks of the new church in the New Testament, and really laid the groundwork for what we all do now, and especially as women in the church. She was, I think, a businesswoman as well, and really was able to navigate, you know, being a new Christian and also being hospitable to them in Philippi, and even with Warner in Philippi herself. So I really admired that story. And my favorite color is purple, and she sold purple cloth. So purple, yay for purple. So those two women stuck out to me, and I just want to wish you all happy Mother's Day. Thanks for letting me share, and have a wonderful day.
I was hoping that she would tell you about the purple thing because that's the one thing she said is Lydia sold purple and that's her favorite color. But anyway, what stood out to you with something that she might have said? Anything?
Well, Chris? I like purple too. So, but but what reminded me of the two ladies you spoke about and really all the women that up here that we've mentioned or that we're going to mention is that God can use you even if you're a brand new believer or if you've been believing for 50 plus years and you may not see him working day to day, but he's weaving a tapestry in your life and you leave a legacy of faith. So that stuck out to me.
Okay. Anybody else?
I want a year of spa treatments. Somebody tell Steve. He's in the back teaching kids. I love with Esther, she was just unseen, and God saw her. you know, the Jewish people were unseen, and God saw them and had a purpose for them. And I love that he intervened so much in that story.
Okay.
And I think I think if you put the two together, how God used Mordecai to help Esther, mm-hmm. and they were kind of in cahoots, you know? I mean, Mordecai was able to use Esther in her position, and there was fear, you know? I mean, she was scared to death to go in front of the king because, like she said, you know, she could have been sentenced to death if he hadn't, you know, extended the scepter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was bravery, there was courage, and there was, you could see, now we can see the tapestry he wove through Mordecai and Esther was patient in her plan. She laid out, she followed God's plan, she was obedient. And I think all these women that we've chosen or we've discussed have had an insurmountable amount of faith and trust in God and patience to follow his plan. You know, those are three key things I've seen so far in all of them.
And I think one of the things that's important is what Jill did bring up is the fact that Mordecai loved his cousin, but basically mentored her. And, you know, when you think about that, the Bible does talk about men mentoring younger men, older women mentoring younger women. And so don't be surprised if maybe you find yourself latching on to somebody and say, hey, I want to share Jesus with you, but not only that, I want to help you grow. And that's part of the mentoring process. That's part of, you know, an older woman in the faith. And when I say older, I could be talking about 25 years old, you know, but I'm not going to get an age there. But where you say, you know, I want to help you. Maybe find a teenager who you just see the light of Jesus in her or in him, and you say, I want to help you. I want to, you know, why don't we spend some time together? And that's what Mordecai did with Esther, and God was able to use her. And as Jill said, save the whole Jewish nation as a result of that. Okay? All right, next up is Tammy. And she teaches kindergarten, so if she's lost her voice, you will understand that. We were gone for a couple days, and Joe said it's too bad that we're gone because she'd lost her voice. But anyway, your mom said that, not me. Happy Mother's Day.
Well, I need grace. So, I'm doing Esther. I gave my dad three names. I said Ruth because of her willingness to leave behind the familiar. Hannah because of her faithfulness and strength. But Esther has been the one that I've been focused on. Being single and not a mom. Although I've been called mother many times in the last 24 years, it's sometimes hard to find a woman to relate to. But as I said, the past few years with my job and other circumstances, I've been going more and more to Esther and the idea that we've been placed for where we are for such a time as this. There's been, when I was looking through Esther, I also did a devotional at the beginning of the year on Esther. And there were five lessons that I felt like I pulled away. A couple of them have been mentioned. Bravery, because she took the step forward even though it could mean death. Her selflessness, which could look like self-preservation at first glance, because she hadn't told anyone her religious heritage, but she still had to make a decision. And the moment that she decided to go to the king, even if it did mean death, it moved to selflessness. Dreaming and asking big. She took that step, and because of her bravery, she found favor in the king's eyes. And that gave her the opportunity to ask for bigger things. Even Haman dreamed big, but his dream ended up being bestowed on his enemy. Then she had to dream and ask bigger in order to save her life as well as her fellow Jews. Restoration. By Esther taking the steps she did, there was restoration among her people. It's the celebration of God's deliverance and protection for his people and should bring freedom, joy, and the lack of fear, and the importance of listening to wise counsel. Mordecai had his finger on the pulse of what was taking place in the city. He listened, he acted, he shared, he prayed, and he fasted. Then he reached out to Esther, who he had raised and counseled along the way. She could have listened to what he had to say and ignored it, but because of his past counsel, she listened and acted and saved the lives of her people. And, you know, how this applied to me, why it's such a big deal is the past several years have been pretty challenging. And excuse me if I cry. I'm a crier, in case you didn't know. Last October 13th was when I had my heart attack. And I was sitting in the hospital not knowing what was going on, and I was waiting. And it was very overwhelming. And there were times when my parents were there, but then they had to leave to go get stuff for me once they told me I was being admitted. Then the next day after my heart cath and they told me that my heart attack was stress-related, that was earth-shattering because diet is easy to change. Stress is a little harder. That's about the time I started to look at Esther and realized that it was time to make some hard decision. I don't like change, and I don't know too many people who do. However, I also know that when it's time for me to make a change, God has made it very clear, and this time was no exception. I don't know what changes are going to involve, but I know that he is walking with me through every step, and that's being willing to make those changes is part of that being brave and even that selflessness. You know, if being willing to make the changes allows me to give more of where I am needed or where he wants me serving, then it fits right in. Dreams is a harder one. 9 years ago, I had a dream, and it went by the wayside. And if someone asked me right now, what is your dream, I couldn't tell you. But that's not always a bad thing because it's still being developed and worked through. And I may realize that dream later today, or it may be several years down the road. But I do know that I'm not alone. The wise counsel. I know that without my mom and dad, but especially my mom, I would not have made it through the last 7 months unscathed. She has been there to support me through everything, from when I made the decision 7 years ago to move to Indiana, and then the last 7 years, she's led me through my mistakes, taken care of me through two health events, and cheered me on in every endeavor I've been part of. I've watched my parents' marriage with envy, good envy, and a lot of pride. I know it's not always been easy, but just like Esther, it's been handled with grace. Restoration has been my personal theme for this year. I've learned a lot in the almost 47 years I've been alive, but the last 7 years and then these last 7 months have given me new purpose. They've caused a reevaluation of my heart and has led me to moving toward a full restoration of finances, dreams, spiritual, mental, and physical health. And the devotion that I read on this was from the She Reads Truth app, and it talked about how even in the moments that we ache now, there is another moment down the road that this ache is preparing me for. It doesn't lessen the ache, but it gives it meaning. And she said, Esther must have come to understand this, and her quote, and the lady's name was Lori Ferguson Wilbert, "This time, this aching, awful time is held secure by a God who knows the future, who ordains the steps of his children, and who has prepared a better Esther, a better Savior for all his people to come."
Okay. Your turn. Anybody?
You know, we've done a lot in our lives, a lot of different kinds of things, and a lot of hard things. And I think looking back, like you can see where God was moving and preparing and planning. And I'm not the wife I am today that I was then before I went through all that hard. I'm not the mom I was before I went through all that hard. And I think Esther had a choice, and you, Tammy, had a choice to take that and turn to God instead of away from him, and open your heart to what he was trying to do instead of closing off. And that takes a lot of courage.
What stuck with me when it just popped out when you said that change is hard, and like in my life, I've, you know, mainly career things or different things, it's like you know, God put me where you want me to be, but then you better make it very obvious if this is what I mean, like, open the door, kick me out, because I don't like to do that. So, I mean, I saw that, you know, in my own life, and, you know, and you just have to pray and say, is this where you want me to go, and then give a swift kick, because I won't do it by myself. So.
I think Esther had an advantage also. I mean, I like it. Send me an email, text me, or, you know, let me know. But Esther had Mordecai also, which we can be sort of Mordecai's to each other when it comes to that, because Esther was scared to death. She didn't want to do it, but through Mordecai's urgings and their fasting together, you know, she drummed up the courage and did what she needed to do for the entire Jewish people. And that's, you know, that's a lesson to all of us, that we need to be just as concerned about what you're going through. I need to pray for you and your job, or I need to pray for you and your kids, or, you know, that's, it's an example to me that it's not all about just me praying for me. It's mm-hmm. we pray for we. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of stood out in my mind, too.
Okay. Heather, you're up next. You chose Ruth and Esther, so.
I did. And now I'm wishing that I had the teacher skills and the organizational skills that Tammy has. I do not, folks. So, I did choose Ruth and Esther were the first two that came to my mind. I couldn't decide between the two of them because they both showed such attributes that were so similar. The loyalty that Ruth showed when Naomi urged her to go back with her sister-in-law, Orpah. And she would not hear of it. She would not turn back. She had such fierce loyalty to go, and I think to take care of and to protect and to grow with Naomi. And, you know, she said, your people will be my people. Mm-hmm. Your God will be my God. And she made that change. She was a Moabite. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't a Jew, or she was a Moabite. So she had definite things that she had to change. And it was a total transformation for her, but she was so willing to go do it. When she went and gleaned in the fields, showed her hard work, her tenacity. She was also obedient, as was Esther. Each one of these qualities can be for both of these, well, all the women, really. I mean, they were all faithful. Ruth was very obedient when her mother-in-law told her, you know, go to Boaz, go glean in his field, go at night. She went. She did everything she was told to do. And she had faith. She had faith that whatever God was taking her to, that he was going to see her through. And he mm-hmm. did. And Boaz was just, he just treated her like she was Queen Esther. Literally, he did. Mm-hmm. He was proud. He was proud of his, that she came to him and followed through with that on behalf of Naomi, really, because she must have been an eye catcher, because he was really, you know, who is that girl? So they made really tough decisions, but they didn't make it for themselves. Mm-hmm. They made it for others. Ruth for Naomi, Esther for the entire Jewish people. It was selfless. It took a lot of courage and a lot of faith and a lot of trust in a God that they really needed. And they found out how much they needed him when they were put in these positions.
Mm-hmm. And if you read the book of Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy, Ruth is mentioned in there. Because of the character you're going to be talking about, married somebody who, and they had Boaz who married Ruth, you know, and then Ruth becomes part of the genealogy of Jesus. So here's a Moabite who doesn't even know Jehovah, but comes to know him and becomes a part of it. Did you guys want to share anything more in there?
You know, I wanted to add with Ruth, you know, there's a lot of jokes about in-laws that go around in circles. And not only was Naomi her in-law, but she was bitter, mm-hmm. I mean, to the point where she changed her name. And can you imagine? Like, okay, bitter woman, I'm going to follow you away from my family to a foreign country. You know, and we hear all about Naomi's sadness. We don't hear about Ruth. Ruth lost her husband. Mm-hmm. Ruth lost her father-in-law. She lost her brother-in-laws. She's poor and destitute, just like Naomi. But all we hear about is how bitter Naomi is. And I just think that's such a testimony to her love of a God that was bigger, you know, that she could put up with miles and miles of walking back to Israel with this bitter woman.
I'm not going anymore with that one. All right, Stephanie, you're up next.
So I chose Esther as well. I really love her story and consider her a hero. I just want to take a minute first to talk about what do you think about when we say the word hero. I love music, so sometimes I hear songs in my head, and I really like Skillet, so their song just pops in my head when I say hero, because I can sing it in my head. I often think of people in military uniforms. My husband was in the Army, so those years in our lives and the things that we experienced immediately pop up, because I've seen sacrifices people have made. And the courage and the strength and the hardships that people have endured through that. I think most of us can also say that it's easy to think of the fictitious characters that have been highlighted by the movie industry as heroes too. Heroes come in all shapes and sizes. I believe it's important to look at the people God's placed in our lives more so than fictitious characters. And that's what we're talking about today. And so the dictionary describes a hero as one who shows great courage, a person admired for achievements and noble qualities. I believe Esther displayed many of these. I love that Esther displayed a quiet and surrendered spirit, and she trusted those God placed in authority in her life. And we can see that a lot in chapter 2 of how she came underneath Mordecai. And she listened and obeyed and followed what he instructed, even when the eunuch gave her instructions of what should she take before she went before the king. She just took what was instructed to her. She didn't do anything that she thought she should do. She just followed the instruction, and she had favor, and people looked upon her with favor for that. I value that because it's not always easy to be quiet and to trust those that God has placed in your lives. I'm an only child, so I'm a little bit strong-willed. That's what I admire her for. So one of my favorite verses in the Bible that God gave me when I first became a Christian, I had the pleasure of seeing Dr. Charles Stanley speak at a work event. It was a prayer meeting. I was like 20 years old. We lived in Georgia at the time. And so one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I wanted to share that with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I believe that's what Esther showed us. Amen. She trusted in God. Absolutely. She followed where he led her. And if we continue to look at her story, we can see how God used her in such mighty ways. And I'm sure she never fathomed that. I mean, she was just a faithful servant that was following after where the people in her life were encouraging her and directing her. So I also put, when Esther learned of Haman's plans from Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. Mordecai challenged her in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 4, and she responded by fasting and seeking God's counsel. When confronted with trials and hardships, I know my desire is to also run to God and seek his counsel, and that doesn't always happen. But I think as we learn from her, when we seek God's counsel, those things that we could not even dream or imagine can happen in our lives. And so when we try to do things in our own strength, we fail. But Esther showed us that she just knew what she was taught all of her life. She followed off after that great counsel, and God used her in a mighty way. So I just really admire that about her. I also found it inspiring that she went before the king in the inner court, not knowing, just as everybody is sharing, that she could have died for going before the king without him asking for her. That took strength, courage. I mean, could you imagine just being able to go, not go in front of the king, not sure if you were going to live or die, what was going to happen? But she knew it was behind her, what she needed to do before her, but she had to be walking in God's strength to do that. I mean, how else can you go and do something like that? I probably would have been just crippled with fear. I mean, not knowing in my own strength, in my flesh, you know, I would have been fearful. But when you're walking in God's spirit, you have the strength to do those things. That you can't imagine that you can. The last quality I admire is her waiting for the right time to reveal the message she knows she needed to share with the king, and doing so in front of her enemy. I mean, how many people would invite your enemy before the king? First of all, you're inviting the king to a banquet, and then you're inviting the enemy, who you're going to reveal all these things. Like, I can't even imagine. I mean, it just boggles my mind, but she had a tremendous amount of courage to be able to do that, to stand in front of the king to share what Haman was doing, and he was there, and he just had no clue of what was going on. So this Mother's Day, I hope each of you can take some time to think about the women who have sown life into your lives, no matter what season of life we're in. We each have people in our lives who have encouraged us in special ways and display God's unique love. We also have the same opportunity to share love and encouragement and hope with those God places in our lives.
Okay. One of the things that stood out to me is when you said, Esther did not have a clue how things were going to turn out. And how many times do we have a clue how things are going to turn out? Zero, you know? But she did it anyway, because she trusted Mordecai, but more than that, she trusted God. And she prepared herself and said, whatever happens, happens, you know. And that's where we also have to come to, is the point of realizing, I don't know the future. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But I'm going to trust God to do his best for me. No matter what it is, I will trust him to do his best for me.
I think it's important that we be vulnerable. She chose to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And society tells us, don't be vulnerable. Guard your heart. Guard everything that you have, because you don't know who's coming for you. And we need to be vulnerable. There are times in our lives that we should be. We don't know how our stories are going to connect with other people. And in that vulnerability, I think, too, God can use us to encourage one another.
Okay. Okay. Chris, you're the finale. Oh, Aaron, I'm sorry. Are you next? Yeah, okay, Aaron, you're next. We can't miss this one here, and I got to tell you a story behind this one. I was going to preach this on her today, and I had several people say, you're going to preach on Rahab on Mother's Day? And so the woman comes up as Aaron's lady. Okay, I'm sorry, Aaron, go ahead.
So I chose Rahab. When Bill texted me and asked me who my hero was, I immediately texted back, Rahab, hands down. And he kind of laughed. He was like, I can't talk about a prostitute on Mother's Day. And I'm like, well, I will, because nobody will get mad at me. She is phenomenal. And if you don't know her story, I really encourage you to go back to the book of Joshua and read about her. She lived in the city of Jericho. She was a prostitute. She lived in a house in the wall of the city. And The Israelites were coming back from 40 years in the desert. God had told them that the promised land was theirs. And Joshua had sent two spies into Jericho to kind of get the lay of the land. And Rahab invited them in, hid them from the king's men who came to arrest them, help them escape, and in turn asked them to save her family. And so they said they would, as long as she tied a red scarlet cord in the window, the same one probably that she let them out of the window on. And so her story is just amazing for a lot of reasons. I will try not to be windy, but I do have seven. But above everything else, I think it just shows how much God is my hero through the story of Rahab. He went to get her. She is the only one in the entire city of Jericho, her and her family, that survived. And God saw her, and he made a plan for her, and he went to rescue her. And she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ because of her faith and her obedience. And that is just a testimony to God that he sees us and he has a purpose and a plan. And it does not matter what happens to us and what we choose, but he can come and rescue us anyway. So the first one, I mean, obviously she had so much faith. She didn't see the Red Sea part. She didn't see the plagues in Egypt. She didn't eat the manna. She didn't see water coming from the rock, and yet she believed that God was the one and only living God without seeing any of it. And it was just such great faith. Number two, she did whatever it took to save her family. She was so bold and so brave, but they were first on her mind. She wasn't about saving herself, but her entire family. She did the right thing at great risk to herself. She knew that these spies were God's people, and she did what it took to save them. She also encouraged them. And they were technically her enemies, you know. They didn't have to keep their promise. But she said, all of the people in Jericho are melting in fear because of you. And that encouragement to them was passed along to Joshua and gave them such such a boost. It had to have, to know that all of Jericho was melting in fear already. What I find interesting is she said, because we heard that the Red Sea was parted and how God brought you out of Egypt, mm-hmm. and isn't it a kick in the head to know that 40 years ago they were melting in fear and they could have taken the promised land then, but they didn't because of fear and unbelief. But that's a side note. She also waited on God without knowing any of the details. All the spies did was say, gather all of your family and stay in this house and don't leave it until we come to get you. That was days. You know, the Israelites came over Jericho, over the Jordan River. I'm sure that was very flat there, so they could probably tell from Jericho that the Israelites had come. I mean, there were millions of them. And then God made them get circumcised. You know, as soon as they stepped foot on the promised land, well, then it took several days for them to heal. And then they came 7 days in a row to march around the city. And I have to imagine, first of all, her family's probably driving her crazy, right, inside this house. But to watch them come and march and then leave and have the faith to wait and to stay there and not leave the house and not go chasing after them, but to wait on what God had planned had to have been so difficult. So she's my hero because of that. She also gave up everything she had to follow God, her way of life, presumably her family. The end of the section about Rahab, it says that she still lives with the Israelites even to this day, but it says nothing about her family. So we can presume that her family went off and did their own thing, but she stayed with God's people. So she even gave up her own family for God. I think the biggest thing, though, for Rahab is that no one chooses prostitution as a career. She didn't choose that. That was either forced upon her. It may have been out of desperation. Perhaps she was abused. But you know she felt guilt and shame and anxiety and hopelessness. But instead of focusing on her own pain, and she had a right to be angry, but instead of focusing on her own pain and getting what she deserved, she focused on loving and believing God, and then loving and serving others. And in that, she found freedom and peace and a place in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And that's why she's my hero.
Okay. Well, in the interest of time, real quickly, anybody have anything you want to add to that? It's not that you didn't say anything important. You said so much. It's like, whoa, you know. Yeah. And what I, just as a side, what I appreciated was the fact that you brought out the fact that she did not see the Red Sea parted. She did not have the manna. She did, and yet she still chose to follow, you know. And the stories, I'm sure the stories that came to her, you know, we heard and we are melting in fear. You know, that to me is just like, oh, God's at work, you know, and he's going to, she was willing to just lay herself on the line and say, I'll do whatever. So, okay, last, Chris.
Shouldn't take me more than 30 or 40 minutes. So. I tried to tease him
spoken
yesterday.
Spoken like a former school teacher.
I tried to tease him yesterday and said, it's 10:45, right? And he just looked at me and said, no. Well, I chose Ruth, sort of like a couple other people had mentioned. But what I liked about her is that she doesn't come from a great position. She comes from the wrong side of the tracks, if you want to say that. She was Moab. But God still chose her and used her. And I made some notes like Tammy did, but I have five things that I really like about Ruth that I wanted to mention. And the first is that she doesn't let the past hold her back. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of the book, she's living in her home nation of Moab. She's frowned upon. On top of that, she lost her husband. She's got a cranky mother-in-law, and you know, so she has no children. So at the time, they thought she was barren. The pain she had was probably immense. So as she embarked her journey in Israel, so I'm sure she was nervous. She had every reason to shrink back and hide, but she didn't. So she didn't use her past or didn't allow it to hold her back, but believed that there was still life to be lived. And she moved forward in that confidence. So what I gained from that is that you have a purpose regardless of what lies behind you. And although your confidence may be wavering, your calling does not. The second thing I took from Ruth was that she showed remarkable faith for being such a young believer. She had faith that there was still a purpose for her ahead. She had faith to believe that God was who he said he was. And she had faith to believe that God would provide for her and Naomi. And if I had mentioned Hebrews 11:1, it says defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And you may not be able to see what God is doing. Ruth didn't see what God was doing, but she trusted that he is moving. The third thing I took from her is that the value of great character. And I used to tell kids in my class, it's characters who you are when nobody's watching. I mean, you know, if somebody's watching, it's easier to do the right thing, but it's harder to do the right thing when nobody's there to see it. And Ruth had no idea her story was going to be showcased for millions to read someday, and yet showed incredible character in her obscurity. She went above and beyond in showing respect to honor her bitter mother-in-law. She worked hard in the field to provide food for her and Naomi, and she proved to be a woman of great integrity with Boaz. Everything she did represented a woman of great character, and God honored her for that. The next thing I believed that I got from the story, or from Ruth, is to believe redemption is possible. It's possible for everyone. Against all odds, redemption is always possible. Ruth had no reason to believe she had earned anything, but believed God was everything she needed. Ruth believed God would provide, and in that place of faith, God did a miraculous work to redeem Ruth. He took a poor, hurting outcast, healed her, provided for her, and brought her a great love through Boaz. So redemption is possible. I think that's one of the best parts parts of Ruth. No matter where you come from or what you've been through, God has a plan for you, and it surpasses all of that. And then finally, I was going to do another 25 points, but I've cut it down to 5. No. I taught fifth grade, you know, short attention span. You know, you don't have that, so you can make it quick. So the best part is that she's leaving the legacy, and I had mentioned that before when I had commented. But I think one of the best parts of her story is the legacy that God established through her. God brought her and Boaz together, and they conceived a child, and that child would be in the lineage of Jesus, the Savior of our world. Ruth was Moabite and was made part of the lineage of Christ. And if you commit your life to God and your calling is firm in Him, there's no limit what God can do through you. You leave a legacy to your family and all those around you. It's a legacy of faith. It wasn't an easy life for Ruth. She grew up in a wicked nation. She suffered the loss of her husband. She followed Naomi to a foreign land, lived in poverty. And those are all difficult, to say the least. But you can see God's fingerprints all over Ruth's story. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt that He was at work the entire time. It was long and difficult, but it ended with redemption. She started out empty, but she ended full. No matter what your season may be, remember that God is at work in your life. He is weaving a beautiful tapestry. It's not finished, but it's in progress. Know that God is gracious, He's good, and that He loves you. If you find yourself discouraged on this journey, take another look at the life of Ruth, and remember that God works for good in His people.
I don't know how else to end except with that. You know, did you guys want to say anything? I think that sums up all that we've heard this morning. How God can take a lost person, a lost soul, a person who's an outcast, and can do something spectacular. And God has done that with them. And I think one of the things that Chris said is we leave a legacy behind. And will our legacy be one of faith, or will it be one of lack of faith? Will it be one of godliness, or will it be a legacy of ungodliness? And we all have that choice. And so that's what I hope and pray that you will take away today, that you have been blessed by the women in your life in some way. The best thing you can do is to take that legacy and share it with somebody else and carry on the legacy of godliness and carry on the legacy of faith and the willingness to be what God wants you to be no matter what, okay? So I'm going to pray, and I thank you so much for hanging in there with us today. I know we went a little bit extra long, but I am so proud of these ladies, and when I'm done praying, I want you to let them know that as well, okay? Father, go with us today. Thank you so much for the women in our lives who have made such a difference with us, our mothers, our aunts, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends, the work people that we are with, those we play sports with, the coaches that have influenced us to be influencers ourselves, but also to, especially for those godly people who shared their faith with us to help us to become godly people too, and help us to be people who do that as well. Thank you for these folks, and thank you for these ladies who shared their hearts today, and help us to remember that there's so much in the Bible to learn, and we never stop. It's never done. And whether it's a male or a female or a child like David was with Goliath, we can all learn. And so I pray that you'll just open your word up to us and let it come alive to us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please let these ladies know how much you appreciate them? And you are dismissed. Thank you for staying. And thank you for being here today.